Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
What's going on, Dons and Divas? What is going on? I am your host for tonight, Rich Money. I don't know if Storm is on the line. I don't know if she's on the line yet. I guess she'll hit the one button when she let me know she's ready. She's actually not in the area. But tonight, we have a great show for y'all. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, tonight, we have special guest appearing. Five-time world kickboxing pre-Olympic champion / actor / producer / director and writer, Robert Dennis Burham Jr. in the building with us tonight. And we're going to chop it up with him, and he's going to let us know what's his next step. He's doing a lot of things right now. So what I want to do right now, I don't even want to waste no more time. You understand what I'm saying? To be truthful, I just want to bring Rob on so we could just get started with this. Rob, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing, brother?
Thanks a lot, Rob. I definitely appreciate you joining us, man. I really, really appreciate it. I know you got a lot of things going on, and I definitely appreciate you taking the time out to join us this evening.
Anytime. The honor is mine.
Now, Rob, you have a lot of things going on. First, let the listeners know a little something about you before we even get into letting them know everything that you're doing and what's going on with you. Let them know a little bit about yourself.
Well, there's not a lot to tell, really. I mean, I'm just a simple guy that's just trying to keep gas in my car, doing it in a creative fashion, let's put it like that.
Okay. Now, you actually a five-time world kickboxing champion.
How did you actually
get started into kickboxing?
Well, let's get started. The story has to go back to my first involvement with the martial arts. So when I was in the fifth grade, I got beat up by a girl. And then my dad was heavy into the martial arts. And so he started showing me martial arts and teaching me martial arts. When I got older, I actually joined the Air Force and ran into a gentleman, Alonzo Jones, who became my primary instructor. And so, you know, we did the karate tournaments, and I, you know, traveled across the country, practically across the world, doing martial arts, participating in different tournaments. And then I just wanted to go to another level because I always boxed. I boxed as well when I was a youth. And so I wanted to do kickboxing. So I tried it. You know, I connected with a gentleman who became a pretty good manager for me during the time period. And he put me in a position to kickbox. So I won my first world belt after my second fight. You know, and then yes, moving up in weight classes. My body was filling up because I was getting older, and plus for my love of ice cream. And just went up weight classes, and I was successful in doing so. You know.
Wow. So I guess we could say if it wasn't for that girl, we never know what would have happened, huh?
And that's right, man. Yeah, we'll lock to it.
Wasn't for that girl, we probably was like, wait a minute. Now, you was actually, you received an award from the mayor.
Yeah, just a week ago. Yeah, I was in my hometown, Hillside, New Jersey. And they, because my birthday was on the 24th, they proclaimed that week, not the day, the week, was Robert Parham Week. So I went to New Jersey from my hometown, got this beautiful award, this big, gigantic picture that they did of me, and it was just great. I got to see some old friends, some people I graduated with, made some new friends. It was absolutely amazing. I was so honored you know. Gee, my best friends from since I've known since the fourth grade were there, and you know, it just brought tears to my eyes. I was all choked up. And the amazing part about it was it got my mom and dad out of the house because they like never go anywhere except unless they're going shopping or they're doing Tai Chi. So they came, and that was awesome.
Wow! I know I know it was just a beautiful thing. I know you were just stung by it to have the mayor.
I was. If you look at the videos floating around on Facebook, I actually, you know, teared up a little bit. I had Grandmaster Kareem Abdullah. He was there. So if you know about martial arts, you know about Master Kareem Abdullah. He's the first African American to create his own martial arts system in America. And a lot of things that they do now, he started. Like, nobody was training the music before he was, et cetera, and so forth. So he came, did a great mm-hmm. speech and a great presentation, and I was just honored, man. I was really honored. It was great. It was absolutely fabulous.
Wow. Now, not only are you a kickboxer, but we're going to get into everything with you, because you got a lot going on here. And I know Richard just wanna know everything. Now, you was also starring in a role movie, Predatory Lender. Right?
Yeah, I'm one of the actors in the movie Predatory Lender. I have a friend out here that I met at a film festival. Actually, he hosted the film festival. His name is James Meyer. And he made a couple of films, and then he had this idea for a movie called Predatory Lender, and he asked me to be in it. And I was like, sure, you know. We became good friends, and I play one of the police officers, one of the lead roles as a police officer who tries to warn him about a crazy person going around that's killing all of these real estate agents. So the movies, I don't want to give away too much of the plot because I want you to see it.
Yeah, we don't give away too much, exactly. We don't want to give away too much now.
The movie's available to download, I think it's on Amazon and Vimeo right now, before pretty soon it'll be headed to DVD, but right now it's on Amazon and Vimeo, pay for download, so go check it out, Predatory Lender.
Yeah, you're definitely going to check that out, people. So make sure you check that out, Predatory Lender, starring Robert Burrum. And you also did a Buster Jones mini feature, the movie Bad Faith, The Insiders, and The Hand in 1999. How did you get those roles? Like, what was your concept on getting those roles? Like, did they come to you?
Well,
did you had to audition for them?
Well, some of them I auditioned for, you know. The thing is, growing up, you know, I liked action movies, and the guys I looked up to were people like Ron Van Cleef, Jim Kelly, Bruce Lee, Fred Williamson, you know, Conan Lee, and people of that ilk. You know, I grew up watching them, and, you know, you want to be like them. So, first, I started getting into all of my school plays, high school plays, drama team, et cetera, and so forth, to kind of overcome my fear of public speaking and kind of shape myself into this actor if I ever wanted to get into acting. And through my martial arts competition, I ran into this gentleman. His name is John Graham. He lives in Mobile, Alabama. And he got me on a couple of sets, a couple of movie sets. So I got into the movies actually through a favor, you know. And when I moved out here to California, I started auditioning for roles, Hand-to-Hand, Bad Faith. I started auditioning for a lot of roles. Buster Jones, I even auditioned for. But then it got to a point where I wasn't getting the roles I felt like I was fit for, you know?
Uh-huh.
So Jim and I got together and made our own company, Mayhem Films. We're doing a film right now called Soul Cage. And we just completed a film that we had a huge premiere with last year that'll be available this summer called Jackson Bolt. And that starred You know,
okay.
You see Fred Williamson. Yeah, you see Fred Williamson on the screen as a kid. And now I'm in a movie with him. It's like surreal. It's unbelievable. So the movie stars myself, Jim, Fred Williamson. Of course, the success of Straight Outta Compton. You had Marcus Taylor, Suge Knight, and he's a good friend of mine. And he, you know, is in the movie also. And the gentleman who doubled for Lawrence Fishburne in the Matrix movies, China McCoy, who also has some film credits, some many film credits, he's in the movie as well. So it's just, we had a huge smash success premiere last year, and we're just doing some re-editing and remixing to make it available over the summer.
Yeah, because I also see you as the executive producer at Universal Talent Booking. And,
yeah, we produced Jackson Bolt. We, you know, I helped produce Buster Jones. It's when you become in this business as an independent, I feel this. I feel it as though you should know all aspects of the game. Because what I see that happens is, as I said, guys that I looked up to, with exception maybe of Fred Williamson, guys like Jim Kelly. Okay, let's look at Jim Kelly. He had his first movie was Melinda. Then he got big in Enter the Dragon. He did Black Belt Jones. He did Three the Hard Way. He did a couple of the films. And then that was it for him. You know? That was it. Boom. He didn't write anything. He didn't produce anything. So basically, what happens with actors, especially action actors from what I see in this genre, is when Hollywood is finished with you, you're done. That's it. You know, unless you're, you know, you have a name like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone or something like that, you're done. You know, Hollywood has no more room for you because they want to bring in the younger cats, the younger guys, the younger women. You know, they want to appeal to a certain demographic. So you have to know how to be good at all aspects of this game or partner with somebody who's good at some of the aspects of the game and you're good at some of the aspects of the game, et cetera, so forth, so you can move forward.
Now, you do the acting, you do the producing. Now, when it comes down to being, which one would you say is the most difficult one you had to do so far? Was it the acting? Was it the producing? Was it the sitting there directing and writing? Because we ain't going to go with the kickboxing because that's a lot of swing and punching and everything. So we go. we ain't going to go with that one. So,
you know, cause
I know that's kind of hard. Go ahead.
You know, the kickboxing, I guess you can say, was a little more, I don't want to say easy, but you know what to expect. You know that someone's coming in to try to defeat you. But when you're, you know, in this genre, when you're acting, writing, producing, directing, et cetera, and so forth, it's difficult because there's so many challenges that come to you that you're not prepared for. You know, sometimes you have a script, and when you're in the moment, you throw the script out the window, you know, and then you realize, oh, well, we had this in the script for a certain reason, or this isn't a script for, I don't know why, so we need to get rid of it, et cetera, and so forth. So that's as a writer. As a director, sometimes you have challenging personalities on the set, and everybody wants to give you their input, et cetera, and so forth. You know, so you have that challenge. As a producer, executive producer, you have the challenge of making sure, you know, the money is where it's supposed to be, and everything is in place for filming for the day. What happens when people don't show up to set? What happens when people are late to the set? And so those are challenges that you have to, you're not really prepared for, but you kind of flex with it and you make best of certain situations. So I would say the most challenging is probably the producing. I would have to say that.
Okay. So, now, as far as you directing somebody, have they ever came to a point where you had an actor who felt like, all right, well, I don't want to do it your way. I want to do it my way. How did you go about solving that one right there? How would you go about doing something like that? You know, because I'm kind of curious. You know, I know a lot of, you know, directors, they do what they do, but you do get those snooty ones when they get up there, they feel like, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to do this my way. I don't want to do it your way. I don't like to do it your way. So I want to say this how I want to say it. I want to move this way. How do you, you know?
That's a great question. And I just ran into that challenge not long ago. Basically, there's several ways that I deal with it. And one of the ways is we come to a compromise. We sit and we talk, hey, this is why I want you to do it this way. Well, I don't want to do it this way. Well, you know, let's try it. If it doesn't work, you know, we'll do it your way. So we'll take more than one take, you know. We'll take five takes, two my way, two your way, and one whatever. And let's see what works the best, you know. And then, you know, I'll get into the cutting room and see which one is the best. You know, my direction may not be the best. Maybe the actor had some insight that I didn't see. Maybe his take was the best, his or her take was the best. But generally, from the outside looking in, you kind of know what's the best. As far as the visual content is concerned, and some people who aren't experienced in this game have some good ideas, but may not be able to relay them without some coaching. So experienced actors, like when we were on the set with Fred Williamson, you know, what are you going to tell Fred? Hey, Fred, this is what we need.
Exactly.
You know, and he'll deliver. He'll deliver. You're not going to go, well, we need it like this. We need it like this, Fred. He'll deliver, you know. There's a point in the script where we were in Jackson Bolt, and he had all of this dialogue, and he cut it down to two words. And it was absolutely great. It was absolutely great. I was like, wow, yeah, there you go. So, yeah, you got to be flexible. As a director, you got to be flexible. You know, there's some directors who kind of rule the iron fist and who take no compromise and who don't accept anything unless they put their hands in it, you know. And that's, you know, that's for some people. I don't do it like that. You know, when you make a movie, it's a collaborative effort. You know, I have my role and I'm open to suggestions. And if your suggestion doesn't move anything forward, then maybe it's not the best suggestion. My suggestion doesn't move anything forward, maybe it's not the best suggestion. You know, we have to be collaborative. But, you know, in the director's seat, I'm the guy driving the ship. So that's how I view that.
Okay. Now, as far as the film, how do you estimate the value of a film? You know, how do you go about doing that? Like when you excuse me. Like, you understand what I mean? How do you estimate the volume of a film? Like, okay, well, you produced a film, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you estimate the value of it?
It's pretty simple. Just when you go to the American film market, what they're looking for is, number one, a good number one they look for is a good director. If you have a named director, you know, your film has value. Okay, so if you don't have a name director, if you have a name actor or actress, your film has value. If you don't have that, then you better have a kick-ass script. If you don't have that, you don't have value. So it goes with name director, name actor, actress, script. You know, that's the way Hollywood looks at things. Now, on the independent circuit, because a lot of people make some good indie movies, but they don't reach the masses, because they don't have a name attached to it. You know, I've seen some really, really good indie movies made by some of my friends in New Jersey, even down in L.A., up here in San Francisco, up in Sacramento. I've seen all over some really good films, but they don't have a name attached to them, so nobody really gets to see them. You know, nobody really, really gets to see them. So one of the things that you want to do as an indie film director is to raise as much money as you can and get a name actor or actress on your set for a day. You know, that is that brings a lot of value to your film. You know, it really does. Now, I saw a movie not long ago, I think it was on Netflix, and it had some really big names in it. William Dafoe, what's that other gentleman's name? He played in Face Off. What's his name?
Not John Travolta. Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. So William Dafoe, Nicolas Cage, and a couple of the names were sprinkled in it. Now, those are names, and they sold the film because the film is not that great. You know, if they got anybody else to be in that film, nobody would have ever heard of it. You know, mm-hmm. So and that's mm-hmm. just that just shows you how twisted this business is. So you can have a named person, but you have a horrible story, it will still make money. But if you have a great story with no names, nobody's going to care. You know, generally. That just shows you how twisted this is, you know. So you got to have a good balance, and to add value to your production, it helps if you bring in a name. You know, it really helps.
Okay, I definitely understand that part. Now,
yeah,
let's say you're doing a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you got somebody that want to do a collaboration with you. Mm-hmm. How would you get them, and they're not sure about it? How would you convince them on doing a collaboration with you in the movie?
As far as directing or acting, or what?
Acting.
I have to be a little more acting.
Acting, yeah, directing. We talk about the whole thing because I didn't realize time is going by so fast.
Well, usually,
the time is 8:30 already. I'm like, wow.
What works for me is, you know, I'm a very humble person. You know, I don't see myself as this big celebrity superstar. I'm just a guy trying to keep gas in my car. That's all I am, you know. Mm-hmm. And if someone would like to collaborate with me on a project, you know, I am welcome to it. Hey, let's see what you bring to the table. You know, what are your acting skills? What have you done? Just what can you bring to the table, you know, to pique my interest? Me personally, if I want to collaborate with somebody, I bring some things to the table. I know that. So I've got a lot of friends that I network with that we're going to collaborate. I have a gentleman in North Carolina, Al Yisrael, and we're going to do a movie in the near future called Ona and another one called Yasuke. So we're going to collaborate on that, you know. We're also going to collaborate sometime in the future with another gentleman on a story for Ron, about Ron Van Cleef. You know, so there's another collaboration, and a lot of people, because in this business, you know, a lot of people look for the crumbs. You know, a lot of people are nitpicking for crumbs and this, that, and the other. But why fight over the crumbs when you can have the whole loaf? And then why fight over the loaf when you can have the whole bakery? So, you know, things take a little time. They just take a little time. And, you know, with ideas and collaboration, and you leave your egos at the door, you know, we can all work in harmony and make something great.
Now, let me ask you this. This is just something that just randomly just came in my head. What does a digital producer do?
A digital producer?
Yeah.
Basically, your producer, as I said earlier, make sure everything is right for the set, et cetera, and so forth. And, you know, as the digital producer, you want to make sure that you have a DP with a camera, you know, some editing software. You just want to make sure everything is in place, you know. If I produce a digital movie, you know, I want to make sure that I have the right DP and the right camera or the right equipment, the right sound equipment for the shoot, for the film, you know, in its entirety. I have to come up with that. I have to make that happen. Because if you don't have a camera, you don't have a movie. You know, I know some people that made some full-length features on an iPhone, you know, and they look good. You would never know. You know, it's not really the camera, though the camera has some aspect of it. It's not really the camera. But it's what you do with it in the editing room that makes your movie. So that's what a digital producer does, and that's what a digital producer is responsible for, making sure that everything is in place that you need for the day.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot right now, Rob. I got to put you on the spot.
Here we go.
Now, here we go. If you had to choose just one, you're going to throw Kickboxer in it, acting, producer, directing, and writing. Which one would it be?
Director. Definitely director.
And why?
Definitely director. I like to see people when they're being directed or some actors or actresses move up to another level. I think that, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be around a lot of people in the business, guys like Robert Samuels, guys like Art Camacho, guys like Ali D'Souza, you know, all these great directors. And I get a piece of everything from them, and I can see, you know, you transforming an actor or an actress to another level. You know, then when you see it, you know, you see it live, and then when you see it on the screen or you see it, you know, in an editing room, you're like, wow, that person's scene just blew me away. Absolutely. You know, so I like uplifting people. You know, I think in a director's position, you have a responsibility to uplift people instead of yelling and telling everybody everything is wrong and this is not right, et cetera, and so forth. And there's some directors like that. But I don't think that it's I don't think it's beneficial to be a director like that. You have to uplift people. You have to make them move forward. You have to make them want to be part of your project, et cetera, and so forth. And that's important. And I think a director, because your producer is not really, doesn't have to be on the set. He's just there to make sure everything is okay. You know, your writer doesn't have to be on the set. You know, but as a director, you have to be on the set. You have to make sure that the movie's going in a certain direction. So I would rather direct. If I had no other choice, I would rather direct.
Now, how do you balance everything out? I mean, the acting, the directing, you were doing the kickboxing and the Air Force, and how did you balance everything out to actually get to this point?
Everything happens in stages, you know. While I was in the Air Force, you know, I was teaching and kickboxing and doing martial arts tournaments. So everything, in the time, everything transitions. Everything transitions. So now I'm, you know, doing this entertainment thing full time, and I'm going to school. So there's 24 hours in a day. You know, what do you get, 6 to 8 hours of sleep? So what do you do with the rest of your day? You know, you got to do something. So, you know, you make time. If you really want something, if you really want to achieve something, if you have a goal, you're going to find a way to do it, no matter what the circumstances are. You know, I just watched a good movie about boxer Vinny Pazienza, who broke his neck some years ago and was in a halo, and they told him he'd never fight again. And he said that he would fight again. And I remember that. And he did. You know, he won a world championship, despite the fact that he was in a halo for almost a year. You know, so if you have a goal, if you have a desire, nothing is going to stop you. Nothing.
Now, everything that you've got going on, did you think about writing a novel or anything? You know, because I'm saying you got the acting, you have a great history and a dynamic future to write a novel, and I think it'll be a real bestseller, because you know you got a lot going on and you letting people know exactly what's going on. Did you ever think about that? Did that ever cross your mind at any point in time?
You know, you are the third person to approach me with that, and it's just not time right now. You know, I've got a lot of things to accomplish, I think, before I even approach that. It's a novel idea, but it's just not the time. You know, things happen in time, and right now it's just not the time. It's just not. I mean, I need some more life experiences, you know. If God give me grace to live to be 70, 75, et cetera, so forth, and in good health, maybe I'll go for it then. But I need more life experiences. No, I'm still, compared to the life of a mountain, you know, I'm still a baby on this earth. You know what I'm saying? I still got a lot to learn.
Wow. Do you feel that it's something that you feel like you haven't done yet that you feel you still want to do?
Yeah. In life, there are still some things I want to do. Like I said, I'm going to school. I've got about 3 more classes left before I finish my doctorate in business. So that's something I haven't done that I'm still trying to accomplish. I would like one day to produce a movie that has all of my martial associates in it, everybody I know from the martial arts, that has supported me through the years, that I keep in touch with, et cetera, and so forth. I want them all in one big collaborative movie. You know, it's never been done before.
Mm.
You know, overseas, and like in China, when they do kung fu movies, they have, you know, two or three or four stars. And the only thing in America that's remotely close to that was like the Magnificent Seven, the original, and maybe the Expendables. But outside of that, you know, you don't get martial artists to have, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 stars in them. You know, I want to do that one day. I think that would be
okay,
so
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, that would definitely be a good idea to do. Now, besides the martial arts, is there any actors that you feel you would like to work with that's out right now?
Any actors I would like to work with outside of the martial arts? I would love to work with. I was fortunate enough to be in the movie The Insider with Al Pacino, so I got to meet him. And you know, even though I was an extra, I semi got to work with him. So he's a big influence in my acting. I would love to work with Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh,
I would love to work
real
with
good
Samuel Jackson. Yeah, Samuel Jackson, Denzel Washington, and maybe, well, not maybe, but definitely Robert De Niro.
Okay. Oh, you picking the all-stars.
Yeah.
You definitely picking the all-stars.
You gotta shoot
high.
You gotta shoot high. Definitely gotta aim high, you know? And that gives me a goal to reach for. You know, so one day you might see me in a film with Denzel or Samuel Jackson or Robert De Niro. You just might.
I believe it's going to happen. I definitely believe it's going to happen. Now, what would you tell somebody that's trying to get up into acting and directing, that want to get to where you at? What advice would you give them?
Never take no for an answer. You know, never take no for an answer. And if one door closes and the other door closes and this door closes, then you make your own door. As a matter of fact, make your own house, and you own the door and the house. So that's real important. You know, as an indie filmmaker, I feel it's important and it's imperative to own your product, to make your own product, you form your own company, and that way you're in control. You don't have to be on the other side of the auditioning table trying to impress people who are casting a movie. Now it's your turn to sit on the side of the audition table with people trying to impress you. So that's big. That's big in my book. You got to be in a position where you can do that. So put yourself in that position.
Wow. Now you very multitask. Now what I want to do, I want to get back to the kickboxing for a minute. All
okay.
Right? Now, has it ever came to a point where, okay, a lot of people don't know about kickboxing and the black belts and, you know, the green belts and the yellow belts. Mm-hmm. Somebody just inboxed me and asked me, what's the difference between those? Like the black belt, and you got the green belt, and you got the yellow belt.
It's like
what
this.
What is the difference?
If you were in the military, when you first get in the military, you have no stripes, which is equivalent to a white belt. You're a beginner. So in the military, as you gain rank, you get more responsibility, you learn more things. And it's the same way in the martial arts. You know, depending on the style, you go from white belt to yellow belt. Your next step might be green. Depending on the system, it might be brown. It might be purple. I mean, you know, when you reach what they consider a level of mastery, or you know all your material, you reach a black belt. But for a lot of black belts, that's not the end of the journey. That's just starting over, because now you're in a whole different world. You know, now there's a lot more to learn. You know, and that's the difference. The difference is what you learn, what you retain, and what you apply. So with the martial arts, people think the martial arts stands for fighting, you know?
What does martial arts mean?
For me, the martial arts
stands
Great, great. So I'm ahead of you. So for me, the martial arts stands for it represents energy. The martial arts to me represents energy. Now, what do you want to do with this energy? You know, do you want to take this energy and be a writer, director, producer? Do you want to take this energy and be an attorney? Do you want to take this energy, you know, and be the best bus driver there can be? Do you want to take this energy and go rob a bank, you know, or sell drugs or this, that, and the other? So energy and what you do with that energy, and hopefully you use it in a positive way to be a blessing to everybody that you can meet.
Wow. Now, what is actually the next step for you?
For me? The next step?
Yes, because you actually got a lot going on. So I'm trying to figure out the next step for Robert Perlman. What is that? Because, I mean, like, what else can you do? Like, if you think about music,
I have no musical talent, dude.
No, whoa. Oh, wow. Are you serious?
I know my lane to stay in, and then music is not my lane. So,
so if you, let's say you're doing a film, and you need a certain type of music, you know, behind a film, how would you go about picking your music out?
I've got a friend, it's funny you say that, I've got a friend that I actually went to school with, two friends that I went to school with. One is Guy Jackson, who lives in Atlanta, and another one is Terrence Johnson. And they do music, and they do some great music. Matter of fact, we did a movie that we haven't completed. It's called Bullets, Blades, and Blood. And Guy Jackson did some of the background tracks, and he actually reached out to some of the local artists in Atlanta to get their music on a track. Now, we took a fight scene from the movie. We still got like 6 or 7 scenes to complete the movie. But we took a fight scene from that movie, and we put his track behind it and some of the local tracks from the artists that he picked out behind it. And, you know, we've been winning awards with that piece. Just, you know, I think it's an 11-minute piece from the movie Bullets, Blades, and Blood. And so I've got my music covered, you know, and that goes back to collaborating. You know, it goes back to collaborating, and we all work together. Because I am not musically inclined, but Guy Jackson and Terrence Johnson, they're musically inclined, you know?
Oh, know your limits. Okay. We have somebody that want to speak to you. Hold on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you?
I'm okay.
This is Timothy Beal, the manager and producer partner for Mr. Robert Parham.
Tim,
I've been sitting
up?
Here listening to everything that my client has been saying, and I am in agreement with everything he's been saying, and then some. My thing is, I've been in this industry, this crazy business called the entertainment world, for 17 years, and I can count my true friends on one hand, and Robert Parham is one of those people I count on one hand as being a true friend. He's a brother from another mother. I love him with all my heart.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is that him and I had a lot of the same people we looked up to as inspirations in the business, i.e. Fred Williamson, i.e. Jim Kelly. I actually got a chance to represent and work with Jim Kelly before he passed away, and I have been Fred Williamson's manager since 2004. Now, with that being said, I will give the title – to Robert as the 2017 and beyond version of Fred Williamson, because Fred Williamson was the first black talent that came to Hollywood back in the 1960s, and he laid the ground rules, how he was going to do things, under what pretense he was going to do them, and he was playing by his rules. He did not get the roles he so desired from corporate Hollywood, so he formed his own production company. And that's exactly what Robert Parham has done with Mayhem Films. He's formed his own production company. And he's producing films that are good film stories that are all for all races, all religions, all backgrounds, all creeds, all ages. And instead of this gangsta hip-hop violence, 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 every time you turn on television having a negative, condescending message in projects that we see today, all the projects that Mr. Parham produces have a good feel story and make people feel good about themselves. That's the key. Because you have to have something to look up to in today's age, in the world we live in. So my thing is, I support Mr. Parham and everything he does. I'm always going to be in his corner. I am a fighter myself, former martial artist of 25 years and a professional wrestler for 7. The only thing you have in this world is your word. When you give somebody your word, you do not break them, like Tony Montana said in Scarface, for anybody. So I'm keeping it real, real recognized, real.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Now,
man.
Let me ask you a question real fast. What first caught your eye about Robin when you said, okay, I want this guy, I want to manage him?
Oh, I love him. Thank you for asking me that. I appreciate that. You know what it is, man? It comes down to one thing. His finesse. Because everything he does it very smoothly. And he looks great doing it. You know, he's like a producer, actor, director, writer. This man is a one-stop shop for all entertainment. Anything you need on a film, he is your go-to guy. Because some people can just do things, but very few can do them and look good doing them. It's like Jim Kelly said in Enter the Dragon, Mr. Williams, I was too busy looking good.
Thank you, Kim.
Now, Bob, what first caught you when he came to you to ask to manage you? What made you say, yes, okay, I want you to manage me?
You know, because he didn't push himself on me. I've had a few people to call me and reach to me and push themselves on me and wanted to conform to their agenda. Tim didn't do that. He just said, hey, man, you know, I like what you're doing. I would like to work with you one day. And he didn't say now. He said one day. That was important. I'm digging this guy. And I, you know, did my homework on him. And, hey, you know, and then I, you know, Fred gave him a big endorsement. So I was like, hey, you know. And to this day, you know, me and Tim have a great understanding. If I need something from him, I can call him at 3 o'clock in the morning. And if he needs something from me, he can call me any time of the day or night. And, you know, everything is great, you know. And he got me a publicist, Yolanda Mack. And, man, we just moving mountains.
Yeah, she is definitely a beautiful person, Yolanda Mack.
She is
one of a kind. Shout out to Yolanda Mack. She is one of a kind.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now,
can I get an amen? Right on.
This Mack attack. So, let me ask both of y'all this question. The time has come to essence. Where do y'all see yourselves, let's say, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? Where do y'all see yourself in this season?
You first, Tim.
Okay, awesome. I see myself, and this is Robert Parham's time, so this is, if you want to ask me questions, we can do that. That's cool, no problem, but I like to have a spotlight on my client. But since you asked me, I will give you the answer, and that is I see myself surrounded by positive, productive, energetic, go-getter, hustler mentality type of people in the most positive and productive way, like Mr. Parham. I see myself with my own John Ford company in the sense that I'm going to have a stock of actors that I can go to and rely on for all films, all television, all commercials, that when you pick up a phone and you say, I have an opportunity for you, they're not in it just for the paycheck. They're in it because of the love they have for the business. And that when they come to a set of a film or a television show, they're there to be a counterproductive piece of the puzzle that it takes to put together to accomplish whatever the task is at hand. I've never been one to manage people who are all money hungry, because if you're in the business for money, you're in it for the wrong reasons. With that being said, you know, I agree with everything Robert said about film production. There is no I in team. You are only as good as the people you surround yourself with. That's it.
Right. Beautiful. And in 3 years, something similar. I would be have quite a few movies under the our banner, and create opportunities for those who don't have those opportunities presented to them normally. You know, there's a lot of talent out here in Sacramento, a lot of people who, a lot of actors and actresses who have some great talent that go unrecognized, and I would hope to help to bring them to another level.
Okay, okay. Now, I'm going to tell you, see, I have a lot of people listening, and I want them to truly hear how a manager and a client is supposed to be. You understand? Because you got people out here that saying they have a manager and they're not as close as y'all are. You understand? So they don't really know what a manager is supposed to do and how a client will react towards their manager and everything like that. So that's the main reason why I brought you in, Tim, to also answer the question.
Well,
you know
I really appreciate the opportunity, man. I'm looking forward to building with you a very long, illustrious, positive, and productive relationship. My thing is,
oh,
I'd
yes.
like to take the floor on this real quick, man. Look, my thing is, my family are my clients. I treat every one of them like an extension of my family, and I protect all of them to the end of the world. That's what a true
mm-hmm.
manager is supposed to be about, not somebody that looks as somebody for the money they can generate them, but for the long-lasting relationships they can build with them. Because we don't know where we're going to be 5 years from now. Tomorrow is not promised. All we have is today.
Uh-huh.
You have to live every day like it's your last and to the fullest.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Right.
And I definitely right. agree with you on that. And y'all sound like y'all right there, and y'all sound like y'all got a long-lasting relationship, and that's a beautiful thing with a manager and client. Because you got
definitely.
Some people, the client don't start disliking the manager. They don't want to work it out. So the manager is like, well, you know, I don't want to be bothered with you. So that goes to show that y'all never had a true manager and client relationship from the get-go.
Well, yeah.
Somebody's
well,
going to be the bigger person and work it out.
The thing is about communication. You know, if I bring something to Tim and Tim is like, hey, man, I don't think that's best, and maybe I really want it, well, maybe I should listen to Tim. You know, if Tim brings something to me, like, you know, Tim, that's really not the direction I want to go. I'd be like, okay, I understand. We sit and we talk and we work it out. It's no problem. As long as you have the
mm-hmm.
doors of communication open, because there's we treat each other like family and there's no ego. There's absolutely no ego. You know, and one of the
mm-hmm.
things that I think stops people from communicating is ego and self-consciousness. Well, if I don't take this and I don't look this way, then he's going to think about this about me. And who cares? What difference is it going to make 100 years from now?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah,
I definitely agree.
So,
I definitely
it's all
agree
good,
with
man.
That.
It's all good.
It definitely is. And time is just going by so fast. I didn't even.
I know.
Oh,
we just got on the radio.
It's going by.
You know, it's like building blocks, man. You invest your time, effort, and energy into somebody that you truly feel is worth it, which I feel all my clients are worth it. But the thing is, there's only a few select special clients that I represent, and Robert is one of those people, because my thing is I want to get behind his projects and I want to push them to the moon, because he's the next Fred Williamson. He's actually doing what Fred did now 50 years ago.
Wow.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah. And when our project comes out, Jackson Bolt, brother, make sure you go see it. You know,
yeah,
make sure everybody supports indie film, and
mm-hmm.
make sure everybody supports indie film so that we can, you know, keep moving forward, keep putting out great products.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I'm definitely going to support it, and I'm definitely going to have my team put it out and everything.
Awesome.
Now,
awesome.
Rob.
Yes.
Now, Rob. Let me ask you, as far as you doing the producing, the kickboxing, the directing, the writing, the actor, the producer, the director, the writer, the kickboxer, you was also in the Golden, the pre-Olympics. I didn't even ask you about that one.
The pre-Olympic.
Yeah,
that
one slipped by.
Yeah. Yeah, that was back in 87, for Taekwondo through the Air Force. Did that, and it was an experience. It was a great experience. You know, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to go because of, you know, I was in the Air Force and duty came first. So, hey, it is what it is. You know, you roll with the punches, and it just wasn't meant for me to be there. And maybe if I went there, I wouldn't be here today. So you just never know.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I got one more question for you. Has it ever came a time where you got on that screen and did these shows and you got nervous and missed your life?
I say no because I know I'm not in front of a live audience. When you're on the screen, you know, you're in front of the camera and the director and, you know, everybody on the cast and crew. And so, no, I can't say that I got nervous. Maybe I'll get a little anxious, but not nervous, you know. You got to look at this the way I look at fighting, the way I kind of look at everything in life. It's like tying your shoe. When you tie your shoe, you know, you make an effort to tie your shoe, but you don't overthink tying your shoe. You just do it. And so it's the same way I was in the martial arts and same way I am in the entertainment business.
So do you think it'll be a difference between you doing it in a film in front of a live audience?
Maybe. I haven't crossed that bridge yet, so I'm just going to say maybe. You know, I don't know.
Wow. Well, you know what, Rob? I really want to thank you for joining us. I want you to let them know your information, let them know about the film again, let them know what you got going on, let you know what you got coming up, and
okay,
give your information. Yeah. Tim, if you feel free, you want to give your information, feel free to do that as well. No?
But
Rob, I want
way
you to
give
all your information.
Okay, the easiest way to get in touch with me is through Facebook, Robert Parham. The movies we've got coming up are Jackson Bolt, which should be out in the summer. We're doing a movie now called Soul Cage, and by the end of the year we'll have another movie out called Bullets, Blades, and Blood. You know, for any appearances or any consideration, you might want to reach out to Timothy Deal. And Tim, you go ahead and give him your information. Is he still there? Tim? Hello, Tim. Maybe Tim's not there.
Oh, yeah, Tim. Yeah, Tim done gone. He done left us.
He gone? Okay, so
the best
way to contact me for, you know, appearances, et cetera, and so forth, is to reach out to Timothy Beale or Yolanda Mack, and it'll get to me, and I'll respond pretty quickly.
Wow. You know what, Rob, I truly want to say it's definitely an honor having you on. I appreciate you taking the time coming out to join us. But wait a minute.
Anytime.
You was on FX channel.
Yeah, I did the Tough Man. Remember the Tough Man? Remember the very first show?
Yeah.
I was on the very first show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, it's floating around on YouTube somewhere.
And do me a favor, because some people just now tuned in again. Tell the name of that film for me one more time. Give me information for me one more time.
The movie is Jackson Bolt, starring myself, Fred Williamson, James E. Meyer, Addie Alpha, who came all the way from England. She's like the African Oscar winner. Natasha D. Davis, Marcus Taylor, China McCoy, Jason Sterling. Just a whole bunch of talented actors and actresses in that film. Jackson Bolt. Make sure you check it out over the summer.
And I'm going to definitely put that out there. Make sure you send me the flyer, the clip, or whatever you want me to put out there for you, because we definitely going to float it around. Ain't no question
will
about
do,
it.
Brother.
I'm going to definitely put the word out. And, Bob,
will
I want to tell you it was definitely an honor to have you on. I do really hope you come back and join us again.
Anytime.
I really did have a ball with you.
Reach out anytime, man.
All right. I'm definitely going to do that. Yolanda Mack, it's too many numbers. I don't know if you're on the line, but thank you again. Jim, I want to thank you for tuning in as well, you know, and, you know, giving in. But, Rob, I'm trying to – I don't even want you to go. I'm sitting here trying to think of more questions to ask you. You see, I'm stalling about leaving.
Yeah.
But, Rob, I'm going to let you go, Rob. But once
all
again,
right, buddy,
I want to thank you for joining us. All right.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.
Good night.
All right. Good night. Robert Dennis Parham Jr. Dons and Divas. Oh, wow. What an interview. Once again, I got to thank Robert for joining us. I got to thank his manager, Tim, as well for giving out his information and everything. Shout out to Yolanda Mack. Don't forget, check out that movie, Jackson Bolt. I'm going to keep y'all informed about it because Robert is doing big things. And we're going to support him to the fullest. Storm didn't get a chance to join us tonight. You know, I'm not mad at her. What's going on is my baby girl, Destiny, has a cheerleading competition. Wish them good luck in Jersey. Make sure y'all bring home that trophy. All right. And, you know, shout out to my sister for her birthday. Shout out to my Aunt Gwynnie for her birthday. Shout out to my mom, my mother-in-law, Ethel LeMay. Her birthday is February 8th. Shout out to her. Shout out to Felicia Smith, my cousin, her birthday as well. But I truly want to thank y'all for joining us this evening. Yes, I'm on the air. Wait, is that Storm that finally decided to join us at the end of the show?
Yes, this is Storm, and you know that I'm traveling.
Oh, wow. Yes, she's traveling.
So.
But it was a great interview. I seen you was tuned
great
in
show,
as well.
Great job.
You know, the lines
yes,
are
I was
flooded.
Listening in.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we want to know, we ain't no grudge, it's all good. I know what you was doing. We seen you tuned in. But that's it for tonight's show. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. Y'all have a safe and blessed weekend. Storm, is there anything you want to say before we go off the air?
No, that's it. You said it all. Have a safe and blessed weekend, and God bless.
All right. We out here. GQ Palace Radio, love and entertainment. It's butter, baby. Make sure y'all tune in next week. We might have something special for y'all. You never know.
There's something about
your love,
so many people say that it is so impossible,
yeah,
impossible,
yeah, yeah,
impossible, yeah. This is how I feel, ever since I met you, girl, everything about me changed. Suddenly I feel alive, something about you by my side. Me and you against the world, finally a diamond girl. I ain't even been the same ever since I heard your name, girl.
My heart skips a beat sometimes.
I've been waiting all my life, think I finally found my wife. I don't wanna rush your heart, take your time, sweetheart. Say the word and I'll come wherever you are.
Sure,
yeah, when you need me, just reach out, and I'll be close enough to witness the moment you say, yeah, for me to live without you, for me to breathe without you, cause I can see just who I'm supposed to be. Touch the moon, look what our love can do. Got forever in my sight, I saw heaven in your eyes. Just what I was dreaming of. Need you on my team because you make me a superstar. I don't need a fancy car.
You are.
I've been waiting all my life. I think I finally found my wife. Wanna walk you down that aisle. Me and you together now. Happiness everywhere. Since I found my shorty. To witness the moment you say, yeah. For me to live
without you,
for me to
breathe without you,
cause I can see just who I'm supposed to be.